On the Tech Talk for Accountants show, Andrew Lassise shares helpful tips for accountants and the technology issues they face. Join Andrew and his occasional guests on our weekly episodes.
Welcome to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. I'm your host, Andrew Lassise with Rush Tech Support. And with us today is the wonderful Randy Hughes, another transplant from Maryland down here in Florida with Counting Pennies. How are you, Randy?
Doing well, Andrew. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. You know, it's another Florida day. So, I mean, it looks like it was raining. You know, give it 5 minutes, it'll change. Kind of how it always is, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's on and off all day long. You know how it goes.
Yeah, you just look across the street. It's like it's dry over there. It's raining here.
Yeah, I know.
Isolated showers.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So, Randy, why don't you give the listeners a little background of who you are and who you serve?
Absolutely. My name's Randy Hughes. I'm originally from the Maryland, D.C. area. Based in Florida now, but grew up definitely in the D.C., Maryland, part or neck of the woods. Went to the University of Maryland at College Park. Currently, I'm an enrolled agent and CPA. Started my business Counting Pennies about 18 years ago, and has grown into from just being myself and doing a bunch of compliance work to a small team of six of us now, where we focus on business advisory services. We do tax resolution, tax planning, CFO work, those types of things. And we also have been focusing on presentation-based webinars and workshops to help educate small business owners and family individuals on tax strategies that are available to them.
So getting away from so much of just the compliance piece of it, and being less of the commodity, but more of the strategic partner and helping business owners grow. That's one of those things. It's just, and I get so passionate about it. I probably talk about this every single episode. Christoph's probably like, he's like, stop talking about decommoditizing your the work that you do. Talk about anything else. But it's so big because everyone looks at it as, I don't understand it. Only thing I understand is price. So I'll just base it off of price. And it's like, there's so much value. Someone that actually knows this stuff can provide in the organization. And so I know one of the things that you stress is the jargon-free language. And you mind elaborating on that a little bit?
Well, yeah, you know, the point with that is making sure that people really understand what we're talking about, right? So I'll give you an example. When someone is meeting with us to decide whether they want to get their bookkeeping done, they don't care about a bank reconciliation, right? What is a bank reconciliation? Nobody is paying. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, honey, I think I want to go out and get a bank reconciliation today. That's just not what people say, right? But what they are interested in is making sure that they don't get a letter from the IRS saying that they owe fines or that they're subject to jail time or they want to spend more time with their family. So when we talk about a jargon-free language, what we're really focused on, at least at our particular firm, is trying to, we become translators or interpreters, if you will. Us accountants, we know all the back-end language. We know what a reconciliation is and what it does for a person. But now when we're talking to our clients, it's becoming that interpreter, talking in their language so that they can see, oh, I'm actually paying for X, Y, and Z. I'm getting X, Y, and Z. I'm able to make better business decisions, spend more time with my family, stay out of jail, keep more of my money. That's what I'm paying for. I'm not paying for a reconciliation. I'm not paying for a cash flow statement. So really just really speaking, and we're not talking about, our business owners are smart. I'm not talking about speaking to them like they're 2 or 3 years old, but just communicating to them in a language that they understand, because you know the people we deal with, small business owners, they're smart. They wouldn't be where they are if they didn't have intelligence, but sometimes they speak a different language than we accountants do. And to the extent that we understand that and can deliver on that, I think there's a direct correlation to the success that particular firm will see.
I think that's such an interesting point. And I mean, IT and technology, we run into the same thing. You know, nobody is actually paying. And I think that's a big misconception. I know in a lot of industries where the people who are in it are so focused on what tools should I use to be the best. And if I choose this tool over this particular tool, then my business will boom. And it's like you're focusing on the wrong thing. Like tools are part of the equation. But you know, if I hire a handyman to come into my house, like I'm not drilling him on what brand hammer he's using. I just,
right.
I want the stuff fixed and we're paying for solutions. And as business owners, we need to, when we hire and outsource pieces of the business, it needs to be with someone that is speaking the same language as us. But, and I mean, that's, there's so many parallels in the IT and accounting field. So if someone, you know, none of my clients have ever asked me what the DHCP server leases are going to be looking like on the new network. Like never, not one person has asked me about how that's going to work in their organization. It's extremely important. And when I had started, I was under the impression that I need to explain every single piece of minutia that is going to go in one ear, out the other. They'll be confused, nod their head. And at the end of the day, you know, they get mad when things break. So I've decided that my job is to make sure things stop breaking. And then I'll send a report saying, these are all the things that didn't break.
There you go.
As a result, to speaking their language. But so many people, if we're not communicating with our clients about here are the end results that things like cash flow statements, P&Ls, balance sheets, reconciliation. That's the piece that when someone is looking to purchase our services, that's the commodity. That's, I know if I hire an accountant, bookkeeper, I get these documents that I don't understand. So how do you decommoditize that portion of the business other than just translating and speaking their terms? Do you have anything that kind of you drill into? You're talking about virtual CFO, things like that. What do you particularly do, Randy?
At Rush Tech Support, we focus on your compliant IT so you can focus on accounting. Call us now at 844-881-7874. That number again is 844-881-7874 or email us at support@rushtechsupport.com to work with us. We specialize in tech support for accountants.
Well, you know, what the philosophy we try to that we try to promote or that we try to keep in mind here is to be as benefits driven as possible. So as an example, the reports that you just mentioned, people have heard of a P&L, they've heard of a balance sheet. They don't necessarily know it, to your point, what it does for them. So when we're talking to them, trying to be benefits driven in our communication with them. So as an accountant, we know that a balance sheet is important because it's going to show the person the assets versus the liabilities. It can help with finding how much your business might be worth, or at least it's one of the tools that can, you know, lead to that. It talks about how much you owe, you know, what your liquidity like. We know that banks tend to use that when they're trying to determine loans. So taking what we know the document does and then translating it into the something that the business owner is going to be able to relate to. So for example, 2020 is a perfect example, right? A lot of things hit the fan. It affected every single industry, this COVID-19 thing, right? So there's a lot of business owners that are now looking at loans, whether it's SBA loans or commercial loans. And especially if it's a commercial loan, they're having to produce documents. Now, all of a sudden they want to know, okay, wait a minute, balance sheet, what? All right. But now if we are educating them on a monthly basis or a weekly basis, depending on what their plan is, talking to them ahead of time. So being proactive rather than reactive. Hey, you know that balance sheet that we've been talking about, that thing that we do every month? This is the document that your loan officer wants to see. And here's the reason why he or she wants to see it. Oh, now it makes sense. Now I understand what you're saying. Yes, Yes. Okay. Yes. So let's get it. And then when it clicks in their mind, and then they see, oh, this is what I've been getting every month. Oh, I see what they're doing for me now. That's just one example, but it's the same thing with the P&L, it's the same thing with the cash flow statement. And people today, and I think that maybe you've seen it, I know your listeners have probably seen it, when COVID really hit the fan, maybe back in March, right, when we all started to have this realization of what was happening and how it was going to impact our businesses, how it was going to impact our households, we weren't looking for a P&L. We weren't looking for balance sheets. We were looking for advice. We were looking for guidance, looking for direction. What do I do now? If you were a restaurant and a directive just came down from the government saying, okay, no groups, no more of, you know, it can't be any more than 20. It can't be any more than 10, or you have to social distance. If you were a restaurant or if you were a gym, you were looking for solutions. Okay, wait, that impacts me directly. So how do I set up, how do I isolate this table so that people can respect those laws, but I can still serve? Should we get involved in delivery services? How do we keep this going? People were looking for advice, guidance, solutions, not balance sheets and P&Ls. So being benefits driven is what we try to aim for. And I think it helps with that conversation.
Yeah. I recall, you know, going through college and we would learn all these terms and you memorize it for the test. Mm-hmm. And then the difficult tests, or the easy one is the multiple choice. I recognize that word. Here it is. That's the answer to the test. But the difficult ones were, here is a scenario, and which of these tools applies to this person's unique situation and why, and understanding how it works. So I recall going through school and it's like, well, here's the benefits of a traditional IRA versus a Roth IRA. And here's what a SEP IRA can do for you. And, you know, it's kind of in one ear, out the other. Like I took it and ran with it more so than the average bear. But then when I'm running my own business and I'm sitting with my accountant and he's explaining to me why a SEP IRA for my specific situation makes a ton of sense. And here are the things that I need to keep in mind. Here are the strategies that are involved with making this work to legally reduce my tax liability, maximize money put away for retirement, all these things. Once it applies to me,
yes.
Now I'm like the expert in that. Because circa 2014, 2015, the expert in what I can do, what I can't do, because it applies to me. Even though in college, I'm studying this stuff way, way, way more, when it applies to the human that's involved in it. And that's why I think drawing analogies and relating to something that the business owner can understand. So instead of, you know, in the IT space where we're saying we're going to be implementing RMM solutions and set up of this infrastructure, and right, the first month is going to be a discovery process, and we're going to look at the network and how it interacts and where your traffic goes, all that stuff. When we're speaking to accountants, we say, you know, when you onboard a new bookkeeping client and everything is brand new and you don't know what it's supposed to look like, what's normal, what's abnormal for that particular client, that's what our first month looks like for you too. So immediately when I'm speaking to an accountant, that will click. They'll understand that. Okay, the first month is just like when I take on new clients. They've got to learn what's normal, what's not normal, and then we set the parameters and then smooth sailing as it goes forward. So I can say that to an accountant, but if I say that to, say, we're onboarding a plumber, and I say that and they're not familiar with what that situation looks like, then I need to tailor it to the person that I'm speaking to. And that's why, you know, working with a specific type of person so that I know that if I make a bookkeeping client analogy, that Randy is going to understand it because virtue of I know the analogies that Randy understands. So I can better communicate the services and value, and you understand that right up front where, yeah, I go through the same situation too. But if I try it with, you know, a college student that doesn't have personal experience with it, it's like you're making an analogy to something else I don't understand.
Yes.
So if you could just translate it into beer and pizza.
There you go.
It's like, you know, when you moved into the university and you didn't know which pizza shops were the good ones and which ones were the bad ones?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, that analogy might work with some accountants too. So you got a good one.
Yeah, the pizza and beer analogy, that transcends all industries. And maybe we should rework how we speak to our customers. No one moved to a new university. You got to find out which gas station has the cheapest beer. Who are the seniors that are cool that'll hook you up?
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
Yeah, that's IT services.
So, sign me up. Where do I sign?
Where do I sign up? It's like, what do you do? I don't know. He said pizza and beer, and then I was just like, done. something, computers, pizza, beer. I don't know. I just write him a check, and I fit nothing great.
Right.
That's going to be on our proposals. Pizza, beer, stuff doesn't break.
That's it.
So we were talking a bit about 2020 and how business owners had to pivot and how the new regulations affected things personally and people, you know, we had to learn what does social distancing mean? You said social distancing this time last year. What's that? You say it now and it's like, yeah, don't shake my hand. God forbid there's a germ. So how has 2020 really opened up the accounting space as far as technology and interacting with your clients?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think overall it's been a very good thing for the accounting industry. I mean, think about what the typical CPA transaction with the client might look like. Coming into the office, sitting across from a desk, bringing, you know, whatever paperwork you have. 2020 and the whole COVID experience, the social distancing thing, has thrown people into a situation where they have to look at technology. They have to look at webcasts or Zoom, Skype, Microsoft Teams, whatever it is that you use, but getting familiar with this video platform. And I think overall, it's an excellent thing. I know it's been for us, Counting Pennies, we've been a virtual firm since we started, but we've been 100% virtual for the last 10 years. So we're very comfortable with the space, and we're excited to see other accountants starting to embrace the technology now. Several of our team members work from home, so this is something that we've already been used to. But now that more people are comfortable because they've been forced to use it, it has actually made our service delivery so much easier, because now people are open to getting on a Zoom call. They're open to getting on Skype, whereas a year ago, no. You know, can you visit me in person, or, you know, send this to me through the mail? Well, we can still do those things, but now because there's more familiarity with the technology as a result of what's happened, it has made processes a lot easier and more efficient to use. It has made people more open to doing things in a way that allows for us to be able to expedite a lot of things that we weren't able to necessarily do as fast for them before, because we have this interaction. And what we found is helpful as well is, instead of picking up the phone and making a phone call, if possible, we like to do the Zoom video call, because at least we can see the individual's face. And there's all kinds of things that are happening with communicate, you know, marketers and, I'm not a psychologist by any means, but people in that field tell us there's all types of things that you learn, not just by what a person says, right? But how they say it, what their body language is like when they say it. All of those things communicate things, and it helps us to deliver a better experience for our clients when we are able to take in all that data and in real time respond to it appropriately.
And I think, coming back to the original conversation, you know, if it was this time last year, where a lot of clients, I don't want to figure out this whole video chat thing, and you know, I'm not that good with computers. Mm-hmm. I'll just set aside time and come see you or have you come see me, and just the travel time.
Right.
And the non-billable, I mean, depending on, you know, your setup, but like the non-billable interactions where, you know, I have clients that are 45 minutes away and I am 30 minutes closer than any of my employees are to that client. So, I mean, for me to take them on, but 45 minutes there, and then, you know, you got your small talk and how's everything going? And I mean, I'm a very like, let's get to the point with a lot of the things I do, but you know, when you're interacting with clients and maybe there's not a time crunch, an entire day gets, and I'm not going to use the word wasted, but I could have been doing so much more if we had cut out things like travel time, if we had cut out things like small chat and having a schedule that's just, you know, we can be on this call, but I've got a hard stop at this time. And hard stops are a lot more respected now because it's like, yeah, you've probably got meetings doing this exact same thing without travel time, without any of the, the, you know, stuff that just slows it down. So what do you think, you know, moving forward? I mean, I think everyone's kind of bought into this is the new normal. Like we're never going to go back to normal. What do you think 2021 is going to look like at going to the next quarter?
You know, it's going to mean different things for different people for sure. And a lot of what 2021 looks like depends on what a lot of individuals do today. So if we're talking about accountants, and there's accountants that are listening to this particular call, I'm not going to be the first person you're going to hear say this, and I certainly won't be the last. You got to pivot. You know, Andrew, you mentioned it earlier, that term of pivoting, being able to adapt to circumstances. As you mentioned, things aren't going to go back to the way they were. So to the extent that those accountants listening can pivot, can be flexible, can change given the climate that we're now seeing, that is going to be huge towards their 2020-2021 performance and results. And if you're a small business owner out there listening to this, again, continuing to think outside the box, that's going to be very critical. And then using the time now to set up for that. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? Maybe it means professional development. Maybe it means continuing education to get yourself ready for what is coming. You know, sometimes you see individuals where, and we have clients that do this a lot, where let's say that they're working at a very, very successful firm where they have a very, very nice job. And then something happens and they get laid off or they have to leave. Maybe it's a self-directed move and they leave. And now they're in the job market and they're looking for another job. And let's say a couple of weeks or a couple of months go by and they can't find one. Well, what a lot of individuals would do in that scenario is they say, this might be my opportunity to go back to school, right? Maybe I go back to graduate school. Maybe I go back and do some other continuous learning so I can use this time. Then when I reset and go back out to the job market, I can be even better prepared for what I'm facing. This is kind of like that, right? I mean, this was a giant reset button, 2020, COVID, a giant reset button. And for those that have been able to use that time to say, okay, you know what? Business is not going. When I was thinking about how business was going to go, when I was back in December 2019, thinking about how 2020 was going to look, this is completely different.
Not even close.
Yeah, the plans that we laid out is completely different. So I have a choice. I can sit back and I can say, well, let me try to weather the storm. Hopefully this will pass. Or I can say, you know what, I see what's happening here. What can I do to maximize this time? So that when this storm passes, I can shoot out of that cannon like a rocket. Professional development, listening to podcasts like this, and really just trying to soak in what others in the industry are saying. Use that information, whether you're a small business owner or an accountant, use that information to your advantage and then take it into 2021 and just watch the results change for you. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, like for us, it was just, well, this is kind of perfect for everything IT, because, you know, everyone was in a secure office before, and well, not everyone, obviously, but you know, a lot of our clients, it was, mm-hmm. we are in a secure office that we know everything is good. And, you know, there'll be people using SaaS products, you know, mm-hmm. QuickBooks, Xero, what have you. Mm-hmm. And so everybody works from home, but they're accessing the same information and it's stored on the internet, but that computer itself, they don't have security because right now it's kind of wild, wild west. And what mm-hmm. I think is going to happen, and we're starting to see a lot of rumblings of it. And I think Google just knows that I read every single article about data breaches and stuff. So it's just like every time it happens, every day I get one in my newsfeed of this company had a data breach, that company had a data breach. But now that so many people are doing work from home, you need to make sure that each employee is secure. So what are your thoughts around data breaches and what that's going to look like in the next year or so?
Well, I agree with you. You know, this work from home thing has, because you have more and more employees working from home, that is very, very important. It's very, very important. And it's more than just making sure that your computer doesn't have any viruses, right? There's so much more to it than that. And educating individuals on the habits, right? Because you can be working from home and have a great setup, and then you decide you're gonna take a trip. You finally decided it's time to travel, and then you connect to an unsecure network at the airport. Well, what just happened to your secure situation? Now, I'm not an IT person, and I'm not going to try to pretend like I am.
But I do know enough. You're on the right path.
You know, but there are certain things that you have to keep in mind. And a lot of times when, like you mentioned, we were in that secure environment, for those that had that secure environment in the office, you didn't have to think about it, but now you're working from home, and especially small business owners thinking about that, thinking about, you know, what is happening with my computer and do I deal with sensitive information? Because if I'm dealing with sensitive information, if I'm dealing with bank accounts, if I'm dealing with social security numbers, if I'm dealing with, you know, people's addresses, there's an added responsibility to making sure that you're a custodian of those things in a safe and responsible way. And many times, I think what happens is a lot of times small business owners, they think of the cost. And let's be honest, all of us think about cost. When we're trying to make decisions, that's what we do as small business owners. We think about cost. But sometimes the analysis needs to be, what would it cost me if I don't do this? What happens if something happens? What happens if God forbid, something happens and all of my information was compromised? What would the cost be to get back on track? What would the loss of revenue be if something like this happened? Now go back to the price quote that you received. Man, now it seems worth it, right?
Yeah.
To go through the headaches that you might be going through. We had a client, unfortunately, that dealt with that, and it has just turned things upside down for them. Now they're coming out of it, which is good. But when you look at what it cost them to come out of it versus what it would have cost if they had just had the proper setup to begin with, I mean, it's night and day. So, you know, for those that are listening, absolutely. If they're working from home, just remember there's the added responsibility of having the proper IT setup. And the costs pale in comparison to the benefits when you're dealing with things like that.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody kind of has subscribed to, and it's, you know, rightfully so, but it's like, you have to have health insurance. You have to, you know, plan for the unexpected, da, da, da. And for most of us, or at least I guess I'll just speak on my own behalf, like the money that I pay for insurance, particularly car insurance, mm-hmm. things like that, the cost of the insurance outweighs what is actually getting covered in all those things. And with IT, there's actually something that's tangible. So it's not only the insurance piece of it, but there's also delivery that comes along with it too. And I love what you talked about, the impact of what happens if something were to happen. What's that look like for my business? There's a company, there's an accounting firm in New York, and they had a data breach. Unfortunately, one of their clients was a medical center, mm. and the medical center then also had a data breach as a result of the accounting firm, and the patients of the medical center sued the accounting firm that had the data breach because of their negligence. So it's trickle down. It's not even directly impacting your clients, but your clients' clients are also at risk. And there's, you know, there's a billion ways to go about it, but things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, kind of the low-hanging fruit that it's so annoying to have to do it, and especially if apps don't communicate well and stuff. But what else is also annoying is having to send out an email apologizing to all of your clients that their information is at risk. You might be responsible for paying for credit monitoring and things like that. The loss of reputation when someone Googles your company and, you know, the first result is data breach. You know, you could always play the card like, yeah, lesson learned, moving forward, that's never going to happen again. But in people's minds, they see red alert. Would I rather go with the guys that have had one data breach or the people that have had zero?
Yeah.
And it's difficult to explain the scenario if the people haven't been through it. And unfortunately, a lot of our clients come to us after the fact, and you know, there's only so much you can do to remediate. It's like, you know, your house is on fire, and it's like, you know, it probably would be a really good time to get that fire extinguisher that we've been talking about.
Right.
But it's
proactive versus reactive, right?
Well, and proactive is so much cheaper. It's so much cheaper. But we could also say, I haven't been proactive in the past and nothing has happened. So if I change that proactive approach, the cost that I spend on that, if I change that from zero to any number greater than zero, it is wasted money because I haven't needed it in the past. And I completely understand where people are coming from. And I mean, there's plenty of times where I've been in the same boat, but if you look at the value that you bring to it and not just, here's the antivirus we give you, here's the VPN we give you, here's the backup that we give you, you know, because then you don't just buy it yourself. It would be cheaper, but the value add is how to properly use these tools, just like the handyman. I don't care what kind of hammer he has. I just need the things in my house to get fixed. And Randy, I think that's a great segue. I want to be respectful of your time. Thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people learn more about you, Randy?
Well, that's an excellent question, and we would love to direct individuals to our website, which is cp.com. That's where they can find us. And we also have an upcoming webinar that's going to be coming up where we're going to be talking about how individuals can be proactive. And I don't have that link available to me. I don't think I have that link. I should have that link, but I don't have it with me right now. But maybe I can get that for your listeners and share that with you another time in a different format. But we have an upcoming, it's going to be on October 8th. We will be advertising it on social media. But you can certainly come to cpennies.com and you can learn about us there. And that's C, the letter C, pennies. .com, and you'll learn all about us there. So we would love to have you come and visit us and check us out.
Awesome. And just a reminder to the listeners at Rush Tech Support, we do free cybersecurity audits. So if you are doing work from home and you're kind of iffy as to whether or not you're compliant with IRS laws or if your customer's data is actually safe, give you a complimentary audit. Go to rushtech.online to learn more. And thank you to all the listeners. And so I always say, take time to stop crunching numbers, crunch the subscribe button so we can get the word out. And Randy, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And we'll keep in touch. All right.
That sounds good. Take care, Andrew. Have a good rest of the day.